Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are you?
I think these guys think I'm grumpy sometimes, Daryl.
Sometimes.
Gee, I wonder why.
I think it's from doing the podcast with you.
Actually, doing the podcast with you puts me in a grumpy mood.
Welcome to my life, Daryl.
How did I become Grumple Stillskin? What is the deal?
What do you mean, become?
I don't know. People think I'm grumpy all the time now. I hate this weather right now. I'll be grumpy about that.
The older you get, the less you care about meaningless stuff, and that's what makes us grumpy. The same way.
I respect that. That's a good opinion, Daryl.
Well, if you care less about meaningless stuff, shouldn't you be happier? Menigan just pointed at me. I think I nailed it right there.
I think I need to go for a walk. Daryl, my friend, we were talking about J.J. McCarthy. Is he anywhere on your radar that the Browns should maybe try to make a trade to get him out of Minnesota?
If the Vikings decide to go Darnold.
I was going to say, I don't think the Vikings are going to decide to go Darnold. So I think it would be a fruitless effort.
But if.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just.
Are you interested? Would you be interested in let's just say it was on the table. It's not like they're not
Vikings,
buddies.
Yeah, Vikings decide to move him. Would you be interested?
It's not like we don't have a friend there and a general manager.
It depends what the price tag is.
Number two pick.
That's what it would be.
Nope.
Okay. End of story. Thank you for playing. He's Daryl Ryder.
Why? What would you like to do with the number Cleveland. Two pick?
I want to trade it for another first round pick next year. But I also want to stay in the top eight.
All right. So you want to move down in this draft and pick up another one the following year?
Correct.
That doesn't do Andrew Berry any good because he might not be making that pick.
And that's a bad thing. Why?
Wow.
Man. Are you in the Ryan Day fan club by any chance? We got a lot of bitter people on the air today. Don't answer the question.
Better win Monday night.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
Came this far. Don't blow it now.
Okay.
I am a little worried. Notre Dame does have blue in their color scheme there.
Wow.
And some kind of shade of maize.
Well, it's gold. The maize and gold.
It's all the same, Daryl. If you're colorblind, you can't tell. It's just kind of
not really. The Catholic Church is more into gold than they are yellow there, Jeffrey.
Well, no, that's really
in
true.
More ways than one, if you get my hint.
But I'm bummed.
I am getting out of this conversation as fast as I can.
Okay.
All right. Wait, can you get me up to speed on what's going on with the Dome? I read the headline today at Cleveland.com was about the fact that they don't want this thing to be – this should – the lawsuit over the Modell law should be in state court, not federal court. Get me up to speed on what's going on. What's today's latest as the Dome turns?
Well, the Ohio Attorney General, Dave Yost, agrees with the city of Cleveland that the federal court should dismiss it. And I say no. I think the federal court should decide whether or not you can hold a private business hostage after they have fulfilled the terms of their lease and the taxpayers are no longer contributing to the stadium. Like, that's just my take on the situation. Obviously, this is going to get decided in the courts. You know, it's very political right now. There's
why is Yost involved in this at this point? Did the city turn to him?
He's the state attorney general, and his job is to, defend Ohio law, and the Modell law is an Ohio law. And so what he is fighting for is that this is a state matter, therefore it should be handled in state court and not county court. But what the Haslam Sports Group is arguing is that, you know, this is an unconstitutional law. And, and so the federal courts are the ones that should decide. And obviously, if the federal court rules in favor of the Haslam Sports Group, then the city's lawsuit that was filed this week becomes null and void and moot. Hmm. Right. So, mm-hmm. That's why the Ohio Attorney General gets involved, because it is his job to uphold state law. And the Modell law is a state law. So, of course, he's going to, file the motion that he filed yesterday.
Civics with Daryl Ryder. I love it.
Daryl, is there any way, you tell me, the court looks at this and says, I'm sorry, they're moving, they want to move 12 miles down the road. It's not like they're moving to Baltimore or to Nashville or somewhere else. They're moving somewhere else in the same market. We're throwing this baby out.
I have no idea how the court's going to look at this. I really don't.
Isn't that what this is all about, though? Interpreting what the Modell law really is, right?
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, that's what the Browns want. They want the federal court to interpret the law and give them guidance. If it applies, doesn't apply, is it unconstitutional? The worst nightmare for the city of Cleveland is that the federal court rules it unconstitutional. And then the Browns are free to do what they want to do. And then the city of Cleveland doesn't get a penny from the Haslams. Because that's what the city really wants.
Okay, so what's the bottom line here then? You're saying that this is all about, like, do you think the city's even when we say in it to win it for the city, what does that mean?
What's a win?
Yeah, what's a win for City of Cleveland right now?
Lots and lots of money from the Haslams.
Is it a new complex at Burke?
No.
Is it?
Because here's the thing.
Is it renovating the old place?
Well,
is it being able to buy a secondary snowplow?
Here's the thing that people have to understand. The Burke plan is a Hail Mary. And the politicians want to argue right now, oh, we're looking out for Johnny Taxpayer. Well, here's some numbers for you. Burke Lakefront Airport's going to cost the taxpayer $1 to $3 billion more than Brook Park will. The other thing, too, is part of the city's filing, which, by the way, should have nothing to do with the lawsuit related to the Modell law, but it was a sympathy tactic. They put in their economic study that said if the Brook Park development gets built, it's going to have tremendous harm to any downtown development that's in the works. And guess who's doing all the downtown development right now that's in the works? So,
Wait, backtrack there for a second. Say that again.
Who's doing all the downtown development right now?
City of Cleveland?
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Where's there going to be a $3.5 billion development?
The new Cavaliers facility. Is that what you're talking about?
Bedrock,
yeah. Dan Gilbert.
Okay. So they don't want the Browns to build a competing development.
So the Browns and Cavs don't want to compete with each other. Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much.
And so the Cavs are Team City and...
Right.
All right. Listen to him explain this to me. Well,
see.
One other thought. You tell me, if you're the Haslams and you want to build what it is you want to build in Brook Park, mm-hmm. I can't imagine you would want to build the same thing in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Part of their development that they want to do is housing and apartments,
right,
and condos, that kind of thing, right?
Which I can't imagine they would want to do in downtown Cleveland.
But here's the thing. What is Bedrock wanting to do on the riverfront, aside from office space? Hotels, condos, apartments, housing.
Casino. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry.
No, that land is zoned for a casino, but they're not going to build it there, right?
So, and there is a legitimate argument to be made about what the market can support. You know, I have been advocating that developers need to build more affordable housing instead of building $500,000 to $750,000 housing. I don't know who has that kind of money in this market. And that's all that's getting built right now. whether it's the riverfront, whether it's what's proposed in Brook Park, whether it's what's built in the suburbs, okay? You know? And so when you have a market this size, I do feel like it's a legitimate argument. How much of that style of housing can this market support? And you end up with competing developments. And so what the political leaders are arguing is, and this is setting the stadium thing aside, is that when you do that, you're taking away from the core of downtown. I'm curious, what if the Haslams just said, fine, we won't build the development in Brook Park. We'll just build the dome with our parking lots. I wonder what the reaction then would be if the political leaders would be more amenable to that. Because the region could use the dome. Like, what they don't understand is if you pump $500 million or $500 million to $1 billion into the existing stadium, you're getting no more use out of it other than what you're getting now. But if you build the dome, now all of a sudden the events that you're able to recruit and go after expand tenfold. So, like, I think that, you know, this is a very nuanced conversation, and nobody's willing to look at the nuance. It's just you're either on Team Dome or you're on Team Mayor Bibb and keep the team downtown. And so, when you're talking about also investing $1.2 billion in taxpayer money, whether it's coming from the state, the county, the city, these are things that should be talked about and they should be debated. But the issue that I'm having with this whole situation right now is it's not a genuine debate. It's turned into political theater. Instead of having legitimate conversations. And then the other thing is there are conversations happening behind the scenes where it feels like people are on the same page. And then the politicians get in front of cameras and microphones and they just completely detonate everything that was talked about behind the scenes. You know, this is serious business.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if the politicians would take it seriously instead of doing the political theater. And as I wrote yesterday, there's only two ways for the Browns to comply with this Modell law. It's for the Haslams to sell the team, which isn't going to happen, or they get permission from the city of Cleveland. And the only way they're getting permission from the city of Cleveland is if they write a big check with a lot of zeros in front of the decimal point to Cleveland. And here's the thing. The Browns should have zero legal and financial obligation to the city of Cleveland beyond 2028. They will have fulfilled the terms of the lease that the NFL signed with the city back in 1996. The city's argument is it doesn't matter if the lease expires. It doesn't matter if they fulfill the lease. The bottom line, taxpayer money got used for 30 years, and therefore they're obligated to stay. But where else is there in the city of Cleveland for the Cleveland Browns to play other than the existing stadium? And the only other option the city has put out there costs billions of dollars more for taxpayers, and that's to build at Burke Lakefront Airport. That's the part that they're not telling people. If they built it tomorrow, it's $1 billion more. If they built it in 10 years, it's probably $2.5 billion more. Like, that's what the politicians aren't telling people. Yeah, Burke would be a great plan.
But it's
a lot more expensive.
You just threw something out. What if the Haslams just built the dome and the parking lots and paid for it themselves? Because from all the numbers that we've been told, you know, they want half taxpayers into the dome and parking lot. Well, and then they're going to pay for the rest of the development.
Right.
And that would be 2.4, which is the estimate that we have on the dome. Is there any way, in your mind, and from everybody you've talked to, that the Haslams get fed up with this and just say, we're going to build it all ourselves, and we're going to get private partners to join us in this, and they take taxpayers out of the equation?
They seem very resolute in the 50-50 split.
Okay.
They seem very resolute in the $1.2 billion commitment. So what I was told is, okay, let's say they sign up for Burke. Just for the sake of discussion, okay? Let's say they, you know, okay, fine, we'll stay in the existing stadium. By the way, y'all going to have to fix that up. That's going to be about $500 million, okay? And I didn't mention that in the cost to Burks. So now you're talking $3 billion more in taxpayer money. The Browns are not committing more than $1.2 billion to their new building. And so that means that taxpayers have to pick up the rest, right? And by the way, the Burke thing doesn't include any infrastructure that's going to have to take place because, you know, getting to Burke Lakefront Airport's as easy as getting to the existing stadium, too. So, you know, there's work that has to be done there. Whereas out in Brook Park, the infrastructure's there. You've got two interstates, a state route, an airport, you know.
A nearby turnpike.
Right. I mean, it's the perfect spot if you're going to build something new. But again, there's just tremendous political resistance to this. And I'm starting to think a lot of it has to do with the developmental aspect. Like, I don't think there's 100 acres of land in downtown Cleveland to build a new dome at, other than Burke, right?
And, in downtown, correct, yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's no 100 acres doesn't exist in downtown Cleveland to build a new dome, okay? Other than Burke Lakefront Airport.
And or they could build a new landfill and just put it right in the middle of the lake. Be great.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Actually, there is an architect that actually proposed that. Not the landfill part, but actually building something in the middle of the lake, which, again, you still can't get to.
We can build a bridge to Canada, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah. But I feel like the developmental aspect is what is rubbing a lot of or scaring a lot of the political and business leaders away, because there is a coordinated effort right now to resist this Brook Park plan. That is, you know, plain as day. But again, you know, the court's got to, you know, you got to go through this process now with the lawsuit, and does the federal court throw this case out? Do they rule on it? What do they rule? And then, obviously, that's going to impact the lawsuit that the city of Cleveland filed.
Oh, yeah, so we got a minute. Can you just walk me through this really quick? What's next?
Probably not.
What's next? That's all I want to know. What is next?
Meanwhile, the Browns are trying to get their funding together. And, oh, by the way, that's part of the city's lawsuit, too, is they want to block any funding that the Browns can potentially drum up for the dome. So, real great partnership working hand in hand in this region right now. That's what we do best. So what's next is the Browns trying to, again, get their funding together, complete the purchase of that land, and then, you know, wait for the courts to adjudicate both of these lawsuits.
And just to put in perspective everything you said, if the Browns cut the city of Cleveland a check, the whole thing's over right now. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think that's how you settle it.
Although we got to probably wait for election dates to pass to make sure people can get elected and not elected, right? It.
Wow. Probably.
I'm just based on everything you said, that's what I'm gathering. Daryl Ryder, thank you so much. As always, we appreciate your time.
You bet, guys.
Thank you, Daryl.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. All right, so we just talked to Daryl Ryder. You can listen to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast. You can read all of his stuff online at 923thefan.com. And Daryl has been all over the dome stuff. He has since probably
my dome guy.
For the better part of 4 or 5 years, he's been on top of all this stuff.
It's my dome guy.
You listen to what he said. Now, I'm just kind of breaking down to the bottom bone part of this, okay? To me, it sounds like this is like, get ready. They're moving to Brook Park. It's not going to – it doesn't matter how much this gets tied up in the courts. It doesn't matter what a lawyer has to say. It doesn't really matter what the city has to say at this point. And, you know, in 2029, they're looking for a place to play. I mean, he talked about that, you know, the Hail Mary pass to try to build a dome at Burke. I don't know. There's another part of me that says, okay, let's leave this in the – does it matter if it's downtown? Does it matter if it's within the Cleveland city limits? You know, I think that's another part of it, too. What if, you know, you ended up developing a new neighborhood somewhere in Cleveland based on the dome with access to a freeway?
I still wonder about the...
like, maybe out by 480, you know?
Well, I wonder about the spot catty corner to the ballpark.
You know, I don't know what's going on with that soccer
there's
stadium.
There's a soccer stadium supposed to go in there.
Is it still? I mean, since they didn't get the franchise, I don't know what's going on with that.
Good question.
And is that enough room? Or is there room over by the mill? Is there a place over there where there's enough room to put a dome in? I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I mean, would I like to see the stadium stay in the confines of the city of Cleveland? Yes, I would. Would it be great if there was a spot to put it right downtown Cleveland? Sure, that'd be great. I mean, could it go in, Andy, where the Wolfson Center was?
You would think
I don't
there
know.
Would be.
Is? Sorry. I just got rid of something that's already
nice
there.
Nice job, Andy.
Sorry about that.
Folks at Cleveland State just started twitching.
I mean, if we just start, can we have a realistic conversation about what's going on here and not have everybody worry about, you know, I got to get my name in the paper today. I got to make sure I get reelected. I've got to do that. It's like sometimes I think people are just standing on soapboxes just because they think that's what they're supposed to do. I don't know. Would it be great if the Browns were staying downtown? Yes, it would be. I can't question that. I sit here and we've argued, Jeff and I have argued for almost 13 years now. Can we please have a building? And we didn't really care where it was, that is available more than 15 to 20 times a year. That maybe taxpayer dollars that are going into a venue could end up reaping more benefits of taxes and, you know, off beers and hotels and all those things because they use the building more than 15 to 20 times a year. But to me, that's the bottom line on the whole thing. I don't really care where it is. But if you listen to everything that Daryl's saying as we just walk down this road, it seems like the city's holding out for a check. They want to make sure that there's someone to pay.
Are they holding out for a check, or do they really want the team to stay in a new stadium?
Does the city of Cleveland really want to be the landlord for this group that holds an event 15 times a year? If they're lucky, 15 times a year, eight, probably 10 to 12 times a year. Throw a soccer game or a concert in there. That's the end of it. I I've said this before, I look at this as a wonderful opportunity for the city to redevelop a piece of land that would be amazing if they can do something right with it. Unfortunately, it just feels like there's red tape going on here, and it's all political bantering going back and forth. And, you know, does the city of Cleveland want help demolishing the stadium? Yeah, they should. They should want help. I get it. I can think of a lot better things to do for the city of Cleveland than having to pay to tear down the stadium. To me, that seems like a lot, you know, it's a lot of money. I get it.
More snow plows and more snow plowers.
Yeah. Well, I also don't think, I also think as an independent business, the Browns, if they fulfill the needs of the contract, like why did they have a contract in the first place? Now they have the opportunity to walk out at the end of this contract. It's what a contract's for. Right.
The one thing that Daryl brought up and I thought it was really interesting, you know, the Burke, the idea of putting everything at Burke, I thought that was just some pie in the sky notion. And then as we continued through this, I mentioned that and they said, well, yeah, the plan is that they want to put it at Burke. And I said, really? I know we've seen, you know, like artist rendition and computer generated graphic stuff. Mm-hmm. Have we seen any real plan on how that would get paid for and everything else? I could be wrong on this. That's just an idea somebody floated to try and appease, you know, somebody that, oh, well, look what we can do. Really? Well, how are you going to do that? Daryl said the cost to do that would be billions more than what the cost would be to put it in Brook Park.
Yeah, I mean,
so who's going to pay for that? The city of Cleveland?
Well,
I mean, and truly, the city doesn't need to spend a half a billion on the old place. And the Haslams don't want to stay there. They've decided to move on. That's the thing that I think is interesting. You know, I read something yesterday. Denver has Invesco Field at Mile High. Mm-hmm. They're looking for a new stadium.
Yeah,
they're looking for land and they're going to put it in a new stadium. And I was in that stadium last year. It's just fine. It was nice.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not really downtown though, right? It's kind of like I want to say on the northern end. I don't know.
Seemed downtown enough to me. I don't know.
I just remember the last time I was there. Maybe I'm thinking of the ballpark. I must be thinking.
Coors Field is downtown.
Yeah, Coors Field is downtown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just
biggest baseball field I've ever seen.
It's really weird how the ball comes off the bat and then snakes in the outfield.
I just think it's. Until the city of Cleveland comes up with a real viable plan,
it's too late
to appease the Haslams and the Browns. And obviously, they own the Browns, but where, like, hey, how about this? This could really work. Well, then, you know, let the owners of the Browns do what they want to do. And I wonder. And I asked Daryl, and he said they seem pretty hell bent on the 50-50 split, which is kind of the way things go now. But I just wonder if they just get fed up and try to find, you know, partners to come in. either on the development of everything else.
The Browns or the city of Cleveland?
The Browns.
Yeah.
And just do it themselves. And if they did it themselves, could the city still try to have the Modell Law invoked? Maybe. I'm sorry. The Modell Law, you know, we were here when the team left, right? We all know.
Right.
That law wasn't put in place to keep a team from moving 12 miles down the road next to your airport.
They're going to revamp our current stadium? I don't know how that. Where are the Browns going to play if they had to revamp that stadium? They're not playing in Cleveland. So how many seasons do you have to go with them not playing? Well, that Modell Law, they got to play the majority of their games in Cleveland? What happens then? So the city decides.
You know where they actually could play?
Within our city limits?
No.
Where?
They could play in Akron at InfoCision Stadium. They could play in Canton at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium.
And you'd have to put up temporary seating? The way the Chicago
you might not.
You know, when they rebuilt Chicago, they moved to University of Illinois.
Right. You remember when the Chargers, though, were playing at the soccer stadium?
Yeah, but then again, to move them to Akron, Jeff, you've got to move them out of the city of Cleveland to do that so that they can temporary play. You still have to move them out of the city to do that. You're going to build a temporary stadium? You got me on all this stuff. Askin, Baskin, Phelps, Helps. Oh, it is straight ahead right here. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Askin Baskin, Phelps Helps coming up here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
You've been bothered and perplexed by something that happened earlier.
Not bothered.
In the show.
Perplexed is a good word, though.
Okay. What is it? Why? What?
Well, something happened early on in the show that made me think of something that I've thought of for a very long time. Jim Tressel was with us.
Yes.
And Jim, of course, the former head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And this isn't, you didn't do anything bad, of course. I thought you did a fine job in Winwood Jetta with Coach Tressel.
Mm-hmm.
But you called him Coach. You know, so Coach, tell me and everything else. And I've always wondered, if someone didn't coach you, should you actually call them Coach?
Yes.
Like, I called him Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, he's not my coach. And I wonder, is that something that's reserved for players who actually played for that person? And it's not like, you know, coach is a mister or a professor or a doctor, you know, like a title that you went out and got a degree in that changes your legal name. You know, like you can put doctors, you know, on documents and stuff. You don't put, "Hi, I'm Coach Jim Tressel."
He does. He signs there. I've seen him. Coach Tressel, I've seen the signature before.
Well, that's when you're giving a signature to fans.
Yeah.
I would guess he's not going to the bank and applying for a bank loan and saying, "Hi, I'm Coach Steve Rabinowitz."
All he has to do is put an X on there. He's good to go.
Should you call somebody coach if they didn't actually coach you?
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with calling somebody coach.
I didn't say wrong. I've always just wondered.
Yes. I do it all the time.
I don't do it. It's like when I talk to pro coaches, I don't call them coach ever. I call them by their name.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. Obviously, I don't have a problem with it because I do it all the time, and I think it's a sign of respect.
Like, would you call Kevin Stefanski coach?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd call him Kevin.
Even if I was doing a halftime interview with him. Okay, coach, how are you? Good to see you. It's a sign of respect.
Hey, sports broadcaster, how are you?
No, difference.
Is
difference.
It?
Is yeah, it? Sports broadcaster is not an educator. Or, well, I guess
isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I mean, who are we leading? anybody who's wants to listen, right? When you're in a position of authority like that, I would just I call coaches coach out of respect, especially if they're a good coach.
I want other opinions. Dano, what do you think?
I always thought it was like chef, you know, whereas like whoever the chef. Head of the kitchen is was always referred to as chef. Whoever the head coach is was always referred to as coach.
Like if you saw him walking down the street here, would you go, hi, chef?
If I knew he was a chef, yes.
Hi, maestro.
Are we going?
Oh, wait a minute. That was a whole episode. Sorry. Hello,
you know,
maestro.
You know, Mozart was always referred to as maestro. I think it was Mozart, right?
Yeah.
Is that the joke? I don't remember.
Yeah, something about not ironing your pants.
But no, like he's like when we have Mike Marton, it's always, hi, Coach Mart, how are you? Coach Williams.
I call him
Mike.
We have
Greg Williams on.
So, wait.
It's not anything right or wrong.
So let me ask you this.
I've just always thought, if he didn't coach me, I'm not calling him coach, because I almost think that's presumptuous of, like, me to say, you know, hi, coach. Well, I didn't.
Yeah, I think you're taking it out of context. I think you're taking it the wrong way. Because
not necessarily. I just think it's interesting.
Well, I think coach to coach. Like, so you coach kids, right?
Yeah.
So is it weird when a parent calls you coach?
Yes.
You don't like that?
I didn't say I didn't like it. It catches me off guard. I'm not used to it. And I wasn't, you know, the parent's coach.
If a parent calls you coach, is that a problem? I don't have a problem with it.
Right now, if I run into a parent of a kid that I coached years ago, I find it funny if they call me coach. I have a name. It's Jeff. Call me Jeff.
I don't know. I mean, I have kids that I've coached for 20 years. And they call me coach when they see me because that's what I was. That's what I am.
I saw my old high school baseball coach
in a
restaurant about a year or so ago. And I went up to him and I called him coach. Why? Because he was my coach.
Right. I mean, I coach with a guy that I played for, and he calls me coach, and still kind of like, you kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess. But I still call him coach. I would never call him by his first name, because I would never call any of my high school teachers by their first name or college, none of them. I would unless they formally said to me, hey, call me so-and-so. Mm. Don't call me this. You can please call me this. Like, sometimes I hear the...
Call me Al.
People my age, like, if you're my age and you... Are you done? Chevy, are you done? Thanks.
Okay.
I think that there's also a rule, coaches to coaches, right? When a coach sees a coach and they call each other coach, it's a sign
of respect.
Hi,
coach. Good to see you, coach. Hey, coach. 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 Good to see you, coach.
Dan, am I wrong? Coaches call coaches coach all the time. Hi, coach. How are you? And I see it as a sign of respect.
I'm sorry. If you're not in front of students who you're actually coaching, you know.
But that's the point. You want the kids to call you coach.
Well, if you're in front of them, I get it. But, you know, otherwise, you know. Hi, Andy.
Nothing? You done on this or no?
I mean, we always, anytime I did any kind of coaching, now track is a different animal because.
Still coach?
See, for us, we were always, it was a lot easier to yell whoever first name it was when you're going over a long period of time than to
Couldn't
yell
it be coach Dan?
And have 18 people turn around going, yes? Like, that's the problem with all that stuff. It's always a symbol of respect, especially if you're a college coach, especially if you're a professional coach. I've always referred to you as coach. It's just, I don't know. It might be just a me thing.
I think it's a respect thing. John of Wadsworth. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm good. How are you?
What's up, coach? What do you got for us?
No, I think Jeff, I see where you're going with this, but you know, I think it's a leadership thing, because if you think about it, whenever we see a former president, it's always Mr. President. You know, we're not going to call Biden. We're not going to go, hey, Joe. We're going to say, hey, Mr. President. You know, and I know, like, for me with teachers, I just ran into my, you know, I graduated high school 30 years ago, but I just ran into my old German teacher, and instead of calling him David, I said, hey, what's up, Herr Ed? You know, I think it's a leadership thing. So, like, a coach is in a position of leadership, like a president. Like, so I think that's how you denominate it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying coach. I you know, it's been done for years. I think that's the way to go.
John, thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, I mean, we're trying to teach respect. And I think when you say coach, it's a sign of respect. Anthony, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm kind of with Jeff on this. I'm not calling someone coach if they didn't coach me, or if we're outside of the coaching parameter or place that we coach at. I train kids for football, and we call each other coach when we're there. But
right.
As for me, I wouldn't call someone coach at, you know, the bar or something.
So if you run into a parent of a kid that you do coach and they call you coach, are you offended?
No, I'm not offended. I mean,
no, it's
people
not
can do what they want. At me personally, I'm just not calling a person coach. And I'm the type of person who I don't like referring to a person as a who's a doctor, like calling them that as their first name. To me, that's what you do, is not what who you are. So I'm calling you by the name that your mother gave you, or the name that you want me to call you. But if it's a title that you obtained through going
academics
to school or something, I'm not calling you doctor as your first name. I'm calling you whatever your name is.
So wait, when you go to the doctor, you call the doctor by their first name if you sit down in the room?
If I know the doctor's name, but you know what I'm saying, I'm not referring to doctor as in, oh, that's your name.
Like if you have a friend who's a doctor, you call him by his name, right? I get it.
Right. If I go to the doctor, I'm going to his place of work. I'm not meeting him out for drinks and still calling him doctor.
I got you. Thank you, Anthony. Well, I know a lot of other people want to talk about it, but we're going to move on because we're going to do Askin' Baskin' Phelps Helps. So let's move forward.
When you need answers from a couple of life experts,
do you have any advice to try to squeeze out those extra 96,000 miles on
change
that
minivan? Oil.
It's time for Askin' Baskin'.
Instaface, snap face, whatever.
And Phelps Helps.
You need to listen to me because I can help you here.
Dan Menigan.
Oh, here we go, baby.
All right, gentlemen.
Give it to me, coach.
All right, let's start. You know what? We'll do this one. This is a good one to start on a Phelps Helps.
Phelps Helps.
Yeah.
So this is from Chuck in Orlando. He sends this in, and of course, if you want to be a part of this, use the Odyssey app. Go right into where it says, you know, CLE Talking Heads, right into 92 The Fan. There is a leave a voice message. You can hit that right there, record your voice, send it right into us. And again, it could be all off the wall stuff. You could ask anything you want. Just do us a favor, avoid politics if all possible. That's the only thing we truly ask. So Chuck did that. He was down in Orlando, Florida, listens to the show. Thank you for listening on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
Ask this question.
Why does everyone say that the playoffs are different than the regular season? The rules are the same no matter what. It's just that the playoffs play rougher, so therefore, those are fouls. They're fouls in the regular season. Why can't they be fouls during the playoffs? Everybody says that can the Cavaliers continue doing what they're doing now in the playoffs? Well, yeah, just score. I mean, the rules don't change. A foul is a foul. I just don't understand how there's a difference between the two, playoffs and regular season.
Bob, that's a really valid point. It's changed a little bit. It used to be so night and day different. It's not anymore. And it's not necessarily the style of play come playoff time. I think what it is more than anything is a team having a chance to get ready for a team more than once, you know? I mean, in the course of a series, you might be able to neutralize some things. I think that's what it might be, you know, more than anything when it comes to the Cavaliers or anything else. Make sense?
Askin' Baskin'.
You got thoughts?
I agree with him. I don't know why the rules suddenly change when we get to the playoffs. I don't think why would a game be more physical in the playoffs than it is during the regular season?
It really isn't necessarily anymore.
It was before.
Oh, it used to be drastically different.
Yeah, so I don't know. At first I thought he was asking about football too. So, it's just the dynamic of the series rather than just playing one game. That's all.
And we'll end it with this one. This was a tweet that was sent to us. Of course, our social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads. Ron sends this one into
Askin' Baskin'.
Oh, scary.
With the passing of Bob Uecker, 90 years old today, have you guys ever had an interaction with Bob Uecker, good Bob Uecker story, or at least even a thought when it comes to his performance in Major League, Mr. Belvedere, or of course when he used to be on Johnny Carson or anything like that?
Oh, I think early on in my career, I know I was an intern at the old Channel 23 in Akron, and you know, we would come up on the weekends and we would cover the game, and we were up in the old catwalks behind the press box, and I was with a videographer who was standing there, and I walked by Bob Uecker, immediately recognized him, played it kind of cool. I was like, "How you doing?" And he was like, "Hey." And then the videographer I was with, who was pretty young too, stopped, like he just saw like a deer in the headlights, and Bob looked back at him and he goes, "That's right, I am who I am." And
that's funny.
And I just kind of laughed and I kept walking on.
That's funny.
And then the videographer was like, So that was my brush with greatness with Bob Uecker.
Cool. I never had any dealings with him. I thought he was great in Major League.
It was back when the Brewers would come to town all the time.
Great in Major League. Didn't watch Mr. Belvedere.
That's it?
That's what we got for you.
Beauty. If you've got a Phelps Helps question or an Askin Baskin, why don't you send it to us? All you have to do is go to the app, the Odyssey app, and hit the little button and leave us a voicemail. And we love answering those. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. Danny Green. Yes. Former Cavalier, Odyssey Sports NBA insider, joins us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.